guardian angels and patron saints, pray for us. Jacob and Jenna, it's a great pleasure again for me to be able to celebrate this wedding mass with you and for you, and to have so many of your family and friends here present to celebrate, including Father Justin Hamilton. We appreciate being here today to pray along with us. Father Hamilton, the pastor of Immaculate Conception in St. Mary's, Jenna's hometown. My name is Father Nick Blaha, and I have, for good or for ill, been involved in preparing Jacob and Jenna for this day, and have the great pleasure of being able to celebrate it, to share a few thoughts and words about these personalities and the future that they have ahead of them, and all of the blessings that they have behind them, which they can rest and grow in trust, not the least of which are so many of you. As a priest, I served at the at Emporia State University for a number of years, which is how I know this couple. First, Jenna as a freshman, who brought many of her friends with her to Emporia State, some of whom are here today. And as a student at the campus center there, the Catholic Campus Center, the Diddy Center, which became an early part of Jenna's experience as a student at Emporia State. I was a chaplain there, and many of the activities that were involved, Jenna got involved in. She became an employee of the center, so I got to know her not only as a chaplain, but also as an employer. I can say she was pretty reliable in her responsibilities. For a 20-year-old, I mean, I think we can get behind that, everyone, I guess. Grew tremendously in her time there, discerned her path in various ways, saw the world, did a little traveling, learned another language. And somewhere along the way, during one of those sessions in the office, somebody said, Jenna's going on a third date with someone. Oh, interesting. What's going on there, Jenna? Tell us. Is this guy going to come by? Well, he's not Catholic. Okay, well, you're excited about this, clearly. Well, you know, what? I just don't think it's going to go anywhere. Why is that? He's from Rossville. And I was initiated into the mysteries of small-town life and Northeast Kansas. Probably take up profitably a long argument about whether or not being related by marriage means you're actually related. That's a long one. Still going. But that became the occasion in which I got to know Jacob. And Jacob, his family, and that has brought us here today through many twists and turns. Jacob was not Catholic at the time, but through his contact with Jenna and her friends and her community, discerned and came to a point where he wanted to become Catholic, to profess a faith in Christ, and was brought to the font. And I had the privilege of preparing him for baptism in the Catholic Church and baptizing him in Easter of 2019. And so we thought, after all those sacraments, why not one more? Add one more into the mix. The sacrament of vocation, the sacrament of one's calling. And that is what we give thanks for today, is the measure of clarity that you have received, that this is in fact God's will for your lives, and that you ask his help in order to carry out and live out this sacrament, this sign. And that this is in fact the path to happiness for each of you. We all want to be happy. We all want to be happy, without exception. There isn't a single one of us that doesn't want that. All of our activities, every one of our choices, is directed towards finding a kind of lasting and justifiable satisfaction with life as a whole. That's happiness. Lasting and justifiable satisfaction with life as a whole. Not fleeting, not momentary, not involving any kind of self-deception, distraction, but a lasting and justifiable satisfaction with life as a whole. And the truth of it is, there's no shortcut to that. There's no shortcut to happiness. Though there are many who peddle such shortcuts to the foolish and to the naive, we find ourselves in their company often. If I were successful, I'd be happy. If I made friends with the right kind of people, I'd be happy. If I lost 30 pounds, I'd be happy. If I lived in a certain neighborhood or finally bought that house that I've always wanted, I'll be happy. If I have kids or if I don't have kids, I'll be happy. None of these things are true. They're all a sales pitch. They're all a scam. And they arise from believing the lie that there are shortcuts to happiness. There are none. The truth is, happiness is a byproduct. It's a consequence of something. It's the fruit of something. It's the consequence or the byproduct or the fruit of a healthy, well-ordered soul, such that it's really not correct to speak about the pursuit of happiness, at least in the common meaning of that term. I don't pursue happiness. I don't find happiness. Happiness finds me. And my job is to put myself in a position to be found. We have a group of farmers here, right? This is a common sense thing to a farmer. So you want apples. And you know apples come from apple trees. A healthy apple tree produces a good crop of apples. But no farmer will ever make the mistake of thinking that if I just coax the buds of that apple tree, the tips of those twigs, tease them out, that will result in anything good or healthy. No, to produce good apples, you need a healthy tree. Without a healthy tree, you don't get tasty fruit. You get mealy, spotty, pest-infested apples. So too, a person trying to coax happiness out of a job or a relationship or a house or success or any of the other things that are presented as shortcuts, they will appear and do appear as ridiculous as someone trying to sweet-talk an apple out of an apple tree that's not capable or healthy enough to produce apples. No. To get good apples, you need to till and feed and water and prune and create the right conditions, the deep and hidden conditions that create the sources of the tree's health. So these are things that are true of life. They're true for every one of us, but they're also true of marriage. There is no shortcut to a happy marriage. The most common mistake we make in trying to make the shortcut to the happy marriage that we all want is to say, if I find the right person, everything will work out. That's a shortcut. And the other side of that, of course, is that if it didn't work out, that must not have been the right person. That's saying the shortcut didn't work. And of course we're disappointed. But the truth is, once we find a person that's, yes, attractive and capable of carrying out the role of marriage, whom you've come to know and to trust and to recognize, yes, this person is a person of their word, they can stand up and carry through what they say, and I admire them for it, and I see even a goodness in them that I want to be close to. Then comes a recognition that these are the roots of a fruitful tree. This person has roots. And in the mystery of marriage, now the roots of your lives are twined together. And they drink from the same source of life. The reason I'm so excited about this couple and why I've been so privileged to be able to accompany them through their preparation for marriage, the years of their education, initial years of their careers, is that I've seen you move in your attitudes towards life. I've seen you recognize that there are no shortcuts. I've seen how you've made the kinds of changes in your own lives that will allow you to sink deep roots and to produce fruit. That's no small thing. You've come to recognize over time, perhaps initially suspecting, going through a time of perhaps having doubts, and then coming to settle your opinion of one another, that yes, we are to be together on this path of ordering our souls together. And so, I don't want to be discouraging by saying there's no shortcuts. There's hard work involved. That's a boring wedding problem. But maybe a tip or two, one that won't be included in the toasts at the reception, arose from your second reading. Jenna, you chose, I assume, that second reading because it was the theme of one of our retreats, the Awakening Retreat at the Diddy Center in 2017. And this retreat is a student-led retreat where the students put on, they invite other students to come away from the University of Philadelphia, spend a weekend reflecting and getting to know one another and praying and trying to find a connection to the Lord and to awaken a desire for Him that will sustain them in their college years. These are beautiful memories because, as many of you may know, Jenna tends to sell herself a little short. And Jenna, after participating in one of these retreats and then eventually helping to lead one of these retreats, later took on the role of organizing the whole thing, being a captain. She did a beautiful job. And I hope you can look back on those things and see, Jenna, what the rest of us see. There's great goodness and a strength in you that when you put it to the service of others, bears great fruit, brings joy. I hope that memory is one that can be sealed on your mind and heart. But I want to particularly point out one aspect of the retreat, and I'll conclude with this. The last part of the retreat, you share letters that have been written for the retreatants. Hope I'm not spoiling this for anybody that might be going to Emporia State at this retreat. You get the letters from your friends who have been praying for you throughout the retreat, your family members. And you open them up and you read their affirmations and their prayers for you. It's very moving. It's called palanca. Remember what that means? Remember what palanca means? It's a Spanish word. It means leverage. Leverage, a lever, right? To lift you up. Palanca is leverage. And leverage, it's finding something where you get out of something more than you put in. Right? It's a means of being able to move a heavier weight by small steps than you would be able to by trying to lift it directly. That's how a lever works, right? So you put some distance between yourself and the weight. And you work slowly and steadily with a plan, and you do something greater than you would be able to do by your own direct will. And if you think of happiness as that weight, what gives us leverage? What gives us leverage? Happiness is the weight, but I can't bring it about by myself. I can't do it on my own. The truth is, marriage is leverage for happiness. Marriage, as God conceives it, as a vocation. Just in the way that someone looking for leverage to lift a heavy object, heavier than they themselves could lift, You take a step back and you ask yourself, what is the cause of the thing that I really desire? How can I devote myself to accomplishing the things that will create the conditions for the effects that I want? Not a shortcut, but putting a little distance between myself and the thing that I want to gain perspective. What is it, in other words, that makes apple trees healthy and bear good fruit? And to those of us who are watching us go through this process, it looks as if we've changed our minds about lifting that thing, whatever it is that we're trying to lift. We haven't. We haven't changed our minds. We're still going about the same thing, but with wisdom. We're wiser than before. We're still seeking the same things, but with calmness and farsightedness, the farsightedness of leverage. We play the long game. And this is the beauty of the gospel reading that you've chosen. Why this gospel reading was accompanied by these dozens of voices singing God's praise for having revealed this truth to us, bringing wisdom to the simple. That within marriage, the leverage itself to happiness is that gospel reading, to love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourselves. That is the lever. Sitting in plain sight, that's what lifts the weight of happiness. This is the bit in the mouth of the horse that guides the whole beast. This is the little rudder on the stern of the ship that pilots the whole vessel. This is the path that leads you, Jacob and Jenna, into the habits that will set your love on the firmest foundation. And it will assure you that remaining, loving, sacrificing for one another, and the children that may one day be entrusted to you, will put you in the greatest position for happiness to find you. That is the promise of the Lord today. And in honor of that promise, gratitude, and in great desire, I invite you now to come forward for your wedding party to accompany you, to take your places within the sanctuary as you exchange your consent.